Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, the healing at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone always goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning again, church. Sorry about that earlier. It's cuts deep. But I hope it's an encouragement to you to pray for our young people in Croydon. They need a lot of prayer. Amen? Amen. By the way, I'm an amen preacher. So you're going to hear that a lot. So just for this Sunday, please just amen back. It just reminds me that you're still there, you're listening, you're engaged. Amen? Amen. Praise God, praise God. I just do it automatically sometimes. So you're called Emmanuel Croydon or Emmanuel South Croydon, Emmanuel Croydon, just claiming the whole of Croydon. Emmanuel Croydon, I have a question that I want to ask you all. And the question is, what is it that you want people to experience when they come to your church? What is it that you want people to see when they come to your church? What is it that you want people to hold on to for the rest of their lives when they come to Emmanuel Croydon? What is it, church? Is it your music? Beautiful music, by the way. Is it your building? Is it the refreshments that you serve? Is it your vicars, as awesome as they are? Is it a feeling? You want them to come and experience some sort of feeling? Are these the reasons why you want people to come to your church? Is this ultimately what you want people to experience, what you want people to see, what you want people to hold on to for the rest of their lives when they come to your church? Now, I'm a guest preacher, so I can kind of say what I want, and then I can kind of go and to my church. But can I just say, if that is your mindset as a church, that when new people come to your church, you want them to experience your music and your building and your vicars, if that's the reason, the primary reason, then I do think you have a wrong mindset. Because as a church, we know we exist to make Jesus known. Amen? So when people come to your church from different backgrounds, whether they're rich or poor, black or white, whatever country they've come from, what sin they committed, it doesn't matter. When they come to Emmanuel Croydon, we want them to see Jesus. We want them to experience Jesus. We want them to hold on to Jesus. And I know we know this as a church, but I've come to realize in my short time in ministry is that not all churches really mean this. They say, yes, it's Jesus we want people to see, but really they want to give people a show. It's Jesus we want people to see, but they want to entertain people. It's Jesus we want people to see, but they have more faith in their music to reach people than they do of Christ. Or they have more faith in their programs to reach people than they do of Christ. And I've come to realize that sometimes as a church, the hardest thing for us to do is to get out the way and let Jesus shine. It's actually hard to do what John the Baptist did when he said, look, let me get out the way. You increase and I will decrease. It's hard to do that as a church, to simply get out the way. And I believe that was John the Baptist's greatest ministry, that he got out the way and let Jesus shine. Because sometimes, even with our good intentions, without even knowing it, we can sometimes be a hindrance and block Jesus. And sometimes we can make it hard for people to really see Jesus. For that rich person who comes to our church, it might be hard. We sometimes make it hard for them to see Jesus because we want their money and we don't want to say something that would upset them. So we never bring the full gospel to them. Or maybe that person who's come from a difficult background, they don't know where to financially provide for their family, and they come and you bless them with so much hospitality, so much charity, but yet there is no gospel message presented. So yes, they've seen how generous you are, but they haven't seen Jesus. When I look at the Gospels, I see how effective Jesus' ministry was. And I find it interesting that Jesus didn't have a huge, lovely building for people to come into, which is good. Jesus didn't give people a show. He didn't entertain people. And yet, his ministry was successful simply because he revealed himself to people. He gave people what their hearts have been yearning for and yet didn't know. He allowed the rich to see him, the broken to see him, the outcast to see him. He allowed people to experience him, to hold on to him for the rest of their lives. And this is what we're going to see in our text today, in the case of this man who had been an invalid for 38 years, in pain and lost for 38 years. And I want us to walk through this text because I believe this passage is going to bless you as a church community. And as you go through this text, there are certain things that you will see in this text that will help you to always point people to Jesus. And there are certain things in this text that if you do as a church, you will never allow people to really see Jesus. So let's walk through this text. Let's read again verse 1 to 5. So after this was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Amen. So John is setting the scene for us. Jesus has been in Galilee. He healed the rich official's son. And now he makes his way to Jerusalem for this festival. And we're not told what festival this was, but it's clearly one of the major festivals in Jerusalem, like Passover or Pentecost. But John is not too concerned about telling us what festival this was. But we know that all Jewish men were required to go to Jerusalem at this particular point. And what's interesting is that we know, if any of you have been to Jerusalem before, we know that there were great sights to see in Jerusalem. Great sights. The temple was there. And other amazing sights to see in Jerusalem. But there's another site in Jerusalem that wasn't popular for the rich and the healthy, but was very popular for the broken, for the lame, for the sick. And for some reason, John draws our attention to this sight, and that's simply because Jesus, for some reason, out of all the great sights in Jerusalem, he's interested in this location. This is a place that the sick will go to, a place that the healthy would not go to, a place where people were far removed from God. It was a place by the sheep gate and a pool and called Bethsaida. Amen. And another word for this pool is house of mercy, which is interesting because a lot of people don't actually find mercy in this place. I mean, this man has been there for 38 years. He hasn't found mercy in this place. But today in our passage, mercy is coming to this place because mercy is not found in a building. Mercy is found in Christ. So we're told that there were multitudes of sick people. But why are sick people going swimming? This doesn't make sense. Why is the blind going swimming? Why are the lame going swimming? Well, if you have a King James Bible, you will get your answer. Because in the King James, you probably realize if you're looking at your Bibles that there is no verse 4 in your Bibles. No verse 4. But the King James has a verse 4. The King James says, "For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. And whoever then went first after the troubling of water stepped in and was made whole of whatever disease they had." Interesting. So the reason why the NIV or the ESV doesn't have a verse 4 is because the verse 4 wasn't found in the earlier manuscripts. It was added a lot later. So a lot of Bible translators have decided not to put it in there. But the King James, I'm guessing, they've placed this verse there in order to give context, because it would be strange why, again, sick people are going swimming. But whether it was in the earlier manuscripts or not, clearly there was some sort of superstition around this pool. People really believed that this pool was touched by an angel and the first person who entered the pool would get healed. Now, church, I don't want us to laugh at these people or to be too hard on these people, because don't forget, they don't know Jesus. So all they can hold on to is myths and legends. They don't have Jesus. So that's all they have is myths and legends. This is what we see in our world. People who don't yet know Jesus, all they can hold on to is myths and legends. When you're at a funeral of a non-believer, there is no hope in that room. Only wishful thinking. But as Christians, and I want a big amen for this, as Christians, we don't worship a myth. We don't worship legends. We worship something real. Amen? Amen. So in this pool were sick people, and they believed that they would get healed. And this pool seems to be a place where it was a kind of a communal place where sick people would gather. And it makes sense for the sick to be together, because that means no one can look down on you. If you're sick, you can't laugh at me. We're both sick. We're all in the same boat. In school, when I struggled with dyslexia, I hated being around the smart kids who could read eloquently. So I was with the kids who struggled like me, because you can't laugh at me. You can't read too. We both can't. We were all in the same boat. And as I was reflecting on this, my eyes was drawn to this pool, because I realized that this pool reflects our world. This pool actually reflects many of our churches. And you might be thinking, "No, Denzel, at Emmanuel, we have a few sick people, but we're generally quite a healthy church." But church, isn't our world spiritually sick? Don't we have people all around us who are spiritually sick? Haven't we all fallen short of the glory of God and need a healer? Amen? We're all in the same boat. We can't look at another person and condemn them because of their sin. You have sinned too. In the pool, there were sick people of different kinds, the lame, the blind, the paralyzed. And in our world, everyone has been affected by sin. One person's issue is lust. Another person's issue is adultery. Another person's issue is gossip. We are all sick and we need a savior. And at some point in our lives, we've all tried to heal this sickness of our own strength, like the people of the pool. But we failed. So when Jesus looks at the multitude of sick people, when he looks over Jerusalem, he sees sick people. And when he looks over our world today, he sees sick people. And what do sick people need? They need a doctor, a healer. Not superstition, not wishful thinking. They need a real doctor, a real healer. And this is where Jesus comes into the scene. You see, as a pastor, when you do pastoral visits, when I visit some of my members in a hospital and the doctor walks in, I step to the side. Because I can't help you the way that doctor can help you. I can pray for you. But when that doctor comes in, I step to the side. Sometimes I even leave. And this is what we have to do with Jesus. Because once we understand that all people are spiritually sick and there's only one doctor that can truly save their souls, we do all that we can to get out the way and let Jesus work. And when I say get out the way, I'm not saying that we do nothing as a church. That's not what I mean. I mean, we do all that we can to point people to Jesus. Someone comes to your church with a problem, with a situation, with a sin. Look, Jesus is your doctor. Point them to Jesus. Do all that you can to point people to Jesus. When we realize that all are sick, even when the richest, healthiest person walks into your church, you know it's Jesus that they still need. When you realize that all are sick and need a Savior, you will never make yourself the main attention. Because you know, it doesn't matter how gifted you are, you can't make a person whole. And if we don't see people, all people are spiritually sick, then we will never point them to a doctor. And that is the worst thing we can do for someone who is spiritually sick. I won't be a true Baptist if I don't quote Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon says around this topic that man is a sick soul, a soul sickened unto death, and Jesus is the only physician who can cure him. The disease of sin is deep, mortal, and incurable, except by the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Once we look at this passage, we clearly see that it's only Jesus that can make this man whole. Not the pool, but Christ. Not even this man's faith, but Christ. Let's look at verse 6 to 9. Are you still there, church? So this man had been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years. He doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't see Jesus. He just has faith in this pool. So he does everything that he can to be by the pool. Because he has faith in his pool, he's always by the pool. He's not thinking about Jesus. I want to make that very clear, church. He's going about his business. He's not thinking about Jesus. But that's okay, because Jesus is thinking about him. And we are told that Jesus sees him among the multitude of people. And in his foreknowledge, he knows that this man has been there for a very long time. So Jesus knows this man even before the 38 years of pain. So he approaches this man. But my question is, why this man? Why him? He wasn't seeking after Jesus. There's multitudes of sick people. Why him? Is it because he was a good man? Is it because he did something amazing that caught the eyes of Jesus? Is it because there was something unique about this man? Well, clearly the passage doesn't tell us anything about that. It tells us that everyone was sick, which means this is simply down to God's sovereign grace. That's why there are some people who are Christians today and some who are not. It's down to God's sovereign grace. We talk about finding Christ, but in reality, it's Christ that finds us. He comes to this man, and some might say he asked a very silly question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Isn't it obvious, Jesus? You know this man. In your foreknowledge, you know that he's been here for many years. Of course, he wants to be healed. But Jesus wants to hear it from his mouth. Because in reality, not everyone wants to be made whole. But listen to the man's response. Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool. And when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. This man, he does want to be healed, but he believes that he's found a way to healing. If only I could just get to the pool, then I will be healed. He doesn't know any other way. And doesn't this reflect our world today? We encounter people like this all the time who are spiritually sick and they believe they found a cure to make them whole. And it's through alcohol, it's through drugs, it's through their jobs, it's through their careers, through their money. This is what can make me whole. And they can't see another way. This man just couldn't see it. He just couldn't see it. He's speaking to the one that has living waters flowing from him, but he couldn't see it. He's speaking to the great healer who can do the impossible, but he just couldn't see it. He's speaking to the one that all things have come from, and he just couldn't see it. Church, can you see why it's so important as a church that we help people to see Jesus? That we do all that we can to help people to see, because they just can't see it. They don't know another way, but we do. Romans 10 verse 14 says, "How then would they call on him in whom they have never believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching to them?" Amen. And that's what Jesus does here. He shows this man there is another way, a perfect way. And I am that way. And he speaks to this man with an authority like a God. And he tells him to get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once, the man who had been an invalid for 38 years, he now walks. 38 years of pain gone in seconds. Wow. It's beautiful. This shows me, church, that there is no sickness too great that Jesus could not make well. In fact, even deeper than that, there is no sinner so great that Jesus could not make whole. Because our God is in the business of doing the impossible. 38 years gone in seconds. And this is what Jesus does in all of our lives. When he performs the greatest miracle in our lives, when he turns a sinner into a saint, he does it in a moment. Sanctifies us in a moment, brings us to his family in a moment. Isn't our God good? Amen? Amen. Amen. I think sometimes we think that the longer a person has been sick, the more unlikely it is for them to get well. And the longer a person is in sin, the harder it is to reach them. That might be a problem for us, but it's not a problem for God. And that's why I keep saying our job as a church is to point people to Christ and not self. Our job as a church is to shine the light of Christ because we recognize that he is our great healer. And God forbid that Emmanuel Croydon will ever be a hindrance to what God is doing in people's lives like the Pharisees were. Let's look at the last section from verse 10 to 15. When you read this section, you see that the day was a Sabbath day. And for some of us, we don't really care if it was a Sabbath day. We praise God that he was healed. But that wasn't the case for the religious leaders. Instead of rejoicing with this man, the religious leaders are interrogating this man because this man has not been healed according to their terms. The Pharisees saw the importance of the Sabbath that they decided to add more laws to the Sabbath to help them keep it better. But it got to a point where this Sabbath, which was God's gift, God's good gifts to the people to rest, now became a burden because of the traditions that were added to this law. So a situation like this, where they should be rejoicing and welcoming this man to the temple, sadly, their traditions have blinded them from seeing God at work. They were too focused on the mat that they missed the miracle. God was at work, but their tradition prevented them from seeing. And this is the danger at times of man-made traditions, where it's possible for our agenda to be placed above God's. And if God's agenda doesn't fit with our agenda, we don't like it. And I know we will never admit this as a church, because that doesn't sound Christian. That doesn't sound holy. But sometimes it's seen by how we welcome people into our church. I know many churches that have said, "This is how we dress, and that is it. This is how we sing, and that is it. This is how we preach, and that is it. This is how we do evangelism, and that is it. But maybe God is saying, look, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Look, I'm doing something different. Come on board on what I'm doing. Church, our job is to make sure we are in line with God's agenda and not ours. And if our traditions, as good as they may be, if they don't shine the light of Christ, let's scrap our traditions. Because it's God's agenda that is effective. It's God's agenda that is fruitful. So let me challenge you as a church, and I'm challenging my church too. Are you walking in the light of God's agenda, or have you placed your agenda above God's? Are you so rigid by how you do church that you find it hard to see God working outside of your system and that nothing can change? And I'm not talking about doctrine changing. That is final. I'm talking about the different ways that we glorify God in His church. My prayer is that you will never be a hindrance. But church, what I've come to realize is that where we might fail, Christ is faithful. And where the religious leaders fell, they should have welcomed this man to their church, to their temple, instead of questioning this man. Where they failed, Christ is faithful. And we see something beautiful in this passage, that Jesus finds this man again. He finds him again, and this is so beautiful, and I want us to end with this thought in our minds. Jesus finds this man again, and it's because I really believe that Jesus does not want this man to be healed physically alone. Jesus does not want this man to be walking physically and yet spiritually walk himself straight to hell. This man has been healed, but he doesn't know Jesus. So he's physically well, but still spiritually sick. So Jesus reveals himself and he tells him, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. I mean, what is worse than 38 years of pain? It's being separated from God eternally. And I know sometimes we don't like sharing that message. It's not a comfortable message to share. It makes people feel uncomfortable. But church, what good is it for people to come to your church and feel God's presence? What good is it for people to come to your church and experience healing and hospitality and enjoy your music if the gospel is not presented to them? There's nothing about them being sinners, that you are spiritually sick. But there is a solution, and that solution is Jesus. Yes, of course, we want all types of people to come to our church. We want broken people to come to our church, but we don't want them to stay broken. We don't want them to stay sick. Why would we want them to stay broken when we have a God who can make them whole? So Jesus sends this man, go and sin no more. Let me conclude this morning. I know I've said a lot. I might have gone over my time, but please forgive me, please. But I think the message is very simple. The message is, church, do all that you can to point people to Jesus. And I know that we are creative, and we should use our creative gifts to glorify God. But wherever our creativity blinds people from actually seeing Jesus for who he truly is, we need to be intentional about pointing people to Christ. We need to be careful not to get distracted by doing good works in our community and yet forgetting to show people, look, you need a savior because all are sick. I want us to recognize that when people come to your church, you already know the answer to their problems. Even if they don't know, you know the answer to their problems. And my prayer is that you will never allow your traditions to ever hinder or blind you from seeing God at work in your church. But it's also a message for all those who have come to this church this morning, who recognize that they are spiritually sick. And for years, you've tried so many things to try and make you whole, to give you pleasure, to give you purpose. And you recognize that all those things don't satisfy. We see clearly in this passage that what you need is Jesus, because only Jesus can make you whole. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.